What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 217. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and helps, you know, the podcast ongoing. We also have a merch store that's where you can get some cool t-shirts like this one. Ryan used to have one. I don't know where.
I have the hoodie.
Oh, you have the hoodie. Yeah. Hello. It's been a little warm to wear a hoodie, actually. Yep. So, yep. But yeah, thinkcomputers.org/merch. We have hoodies, we have t-shirts, we have mugs, we have stickers, all that kind of cool stuff. But it's Wednesday, right? Yeah.
Yep.
I think with nobody leaving the house, you don't even know what day it is anymore. You're just like, eh.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, but yeah, lots of cool stuff to talk about this week. But
a lot of news.
Yeah. But it's a big day. Everybody, it's Ryan's birthday.
Oh yeah, it is.
Happy birthday. I wish I could put like
confetti like, or something.
Confetti or I should have
I thought about it for like the stream later tonight. I was like, oh, I could like add some transparent like confetti
stuff
so I can just hit a button on the stream deck and have it like pop in every now and then.
We need some type of like digital confetti thing and then would have your picture come up and like all that kind of stuff. I think we should do that. But how old are you? Are you going to tell everybody how old you are?
I was born in 1982.
Okay. 38. I got that. Yeah. Not that you haven't hit the big 40, so you're not there yet. So are you drinking? Are you celebrating? Is that an alcoholic beverage that I saw? Or are you drinking?
Yeah.
And what?
That's just it's Corona.
That is,
I know.
I saw something on Twitter. I don't know if it's true, but I saw that they stopped producing.
Yeah, like just like the actual, I think this week they stopped making that, and I think Modelo and one other beer.
Oh, really?
It's brought off, yeah. But yeah, no, I took the day off. Nice. Ended up mowing the yard.
I did see you're playing WoW earlier.
I played a little bit of WoW today.
You were playing.
I cleaned up my room, so like I don't have cases and stuff.
There you go.
If
you guys can see behind me, my office is a mess. I was taking some pictures of some new products today. But yeah. And you were showing me Half-Life Alyx, which I'm super jealous because I don't have a VR headset to play it. And it looked awesome from what you saw. So you need to do some streams on that over on Twitch, I think.
I should. Yeah. Maybe this weekend.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I would definitely watch because that's like one game where if somebody's playing it, I feel like you can kind of feel like you're part of it because it's a single player game.
Sure.
That makes sense.
Yep. I agree.
You know, so, but anyways, this is a tech podcast. We're talking about the weather and of course Ryan's birthday and everything else that's going on. But we have a lot of tech to talk about this week and some really awesome announcements. I was actually pretty surprised at some of the stuff this week. But if you want to follow along with us, if you want to, you know, see what we're going to be talking about, we have our show notes up on the website. It is in the description of this video, so you guys can go ahead and follow along with us. But we'll start with our reviews this week. And I took a look at a rather large case. And I believe so far it's the biggest case that I reviewed in 2020, I think. I'm pretty sure.
I mean, that's not like a crazy statement. It's only April, but it is a big case. Like
it is a big, yeah. And I've only reviewed like a handful of cases either, but it's one of the biggest ones that I reviewed in a while. I would definitely say that. So it's from Thermaltake. It's their A700TG. The TG stands for tempered glass. And I'll get to the second page here so you guys can actually see. The cool thing about this is they, like a lot of case manufacturers, they've used a mixture of materials. So on the front here, you have this aluminum and the top's aluminum, but then you have a steel interior and then you have these massive, and I mean massive, tempered glass side panels. The tempered glass side panels are 5 millimeters thick. Typically in most cases, they are 3 millimeters thick. So you have 5 millimeters thick. And each of them have a lock on them with keys that you get. It reminds me of like old school.
Yeah. Like you'd always see like the front. So you couldn't get to the power button or you couldn't get to the opticals or whatever. All right.
Yeah. So it kind of brought back like that little bit of nostalgia, I think. But overall, like this is a big case. this supports up to extended ATX. I think you can fit, I can't remember now if I look at it, four here plus three is seven 3.5-inch drives, or up to, I think, 11 2.5-inch drives in this. So you can do a ton of storage. Again, extended ATX, longer graphics cards. Everything in here is more or less modular and can be taken out, which is kind of nice. But the only thing that I just like this internal layout to me, I'll show you guys the inside. It just, there's companies out there that have been able to accomplish this without it being just kind of things just look like they're sitting there.
That's how I felt looking at this. It was like there's just stuff in random spots. It almost felt like,
yeah. And I like it because you can move these. I'm pointing at the screen like you guys can see me. you can move these hard drive cages up and down kind of on this like little system here. Okay. Right. But they're just like, you just, if you don't use them there, I mean, you can remove them. Yes. Like you can fully take them out, but they're just like sitting there. It's kind of like, it just doesn't look good. You know what I mean? And then typically we see a full power supply cover that extends the entire length of the case. And they could have easily at least fit one of these cages down there. You know, so like the internal layout is just like other companies have been able to do it. I think Thermaltake should be able to do it as well. I like that it's modular. And you can fit a ton of stuff in here. It's just, that's one of the things that kind of bothered me just a little bit. Another thing, you do get some extras with this. So you have this pump or reservoir kind of bracket here that can be moved around. That comes with the case. Usually you have to pay extra for that. Yep. You get the, it's kind of interesting. You get these things. So the actual rear part of the case, if I can get a picture of it, this section right here can actually be moved so all of your graphics cards can be installed vertically. Which is pretty cool, except for, and then you get the bottom brackets, as I was just showing you, so you can do two vertical GPUs, but the ribbon cables, at least even one, is not included with a case either, which is kind of a bummer as well.
Yeah, I hate seeing that when they include all the like mounting hardware kind of for it, but then not the cable. Yeah, it's
so you have that. On the back side of the case, you have these multi trays. They can do one 3.5-inch drive or two 2.5-inch drives. So again, I mean, that's six SSDs that you could put back here. So you have a lot of space as far as storage and things like that. Our installation was pretty basic for this case. So if you look at our installation on the backside, pretty simple. I did do a 3.5-inch drive, which I normally don't do, but I just want to see how it kind of fit back there. Our two 2.5-inch drives. And then, you know, like I said, I took out those hard drive trays because I wasn't using them. It kind of looks, not that saying it looks dumb, but it's just like I didn't make use of any of this space.
You have like half of the case.
Yeah, half of the case that's
wasted.
Not really doing anything. Another thing that I didn't like about this case is that you only have two fans. You have a 140 millimeter intake, 140 millimeter exhaust, and that's it. And that wouldn't be a huge deal to me, but if you look at the price of this case, it's $349, which just seems a lot.
Yeah. So I hadn't looked at the price. I didn't pay attention. I would, for $350, I would expect like three fans up front, two or three.
Yeah.
And one other thing I like wasn't a fan of on this was on that power supply shroud, the little window there looks cheap.
Yeah.
It's like a piece of plastic window, right?
Yeah, it's an acrylic window. And it's just like, I think that Thermaltake could have done this case, honestly, without the aluminum on the front or the top. It could have been steel for me. I wouldn't care. The tempered glass doesn't need to be 5 millimeters. It could be 3 millimeters.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. You know, but I think that too, this is a case that I said it in my conclusion here, that if you're doing a crazy water cooling build, because you can fit a 420, I believe, in the front and a 360 in the top, and you have where the actual hard drives, those hard drives trays go, you can actually fit another maybe a 420 right here, like a radiator.
I thought it was perfirated kind of there with those slots, but.
Yeah, these are, there's actually big holes here too. And if you remove the back trays, you could actually get some airflow, I guess. But it's just like, you have to know what you're doing with this case to make it worth the money, because you can get a full tower case that offers just as much cooling options and pretty much just as much hard drive options and everything that you're going to get with this case for at least $100 cheaper.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the thing. And one thing I didn't mention is these the side panel windows, they're in a hinge system, so you can just pull them off the case, which I absolutely love. Yep. I remember a few cases that I reviewed years ago that had these massive panels that were on a hinge, but then you couldn't take them off. So when you were installing, you'd have this big ass.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Biggest thing there. But yeah, I gave it an 8 out of 10. It is a good case. It's a nice mix of materials. It's a very high quality, minus those hard drive trays, which are plastic. I just think that Thermaltake could have done some things a little bit differently. And it's priced high for what you're getting, considering the other options that are out there. So yeah, I gave it 8 out of 10. Cool. Yeah. And then I took a look at a brand new mouse from Corsair. So this is an update of the Dark Rock or Dark Core RGB that came out in 2017, which I actually reviewed as well. This is the follow-up. So we're seeing Corsair pretty much refresh products, you know, every couple of years. And we saw that, what was the keyboard, the K95 RGB Platinum XT. And with that, we only saw a few little upgrades. And with this, it's kind of the same thing. I actually, let me see if I can bring myself up. I guess not, but here's the mouse. It's wireless. It uses their Slipstream wireless technology. So you get a little, what's actually cool is the little, they have a holder for the dongle, which is nice.
Yep.
You get a little USB dongle, 2.4 gigahertz wireless technology there, which is really nice. They say it's sub 1 ms latency. I didn't notice any input issues. I think when you have a dedicated dongle, if you're a professional gamer or a serious gamer and you worry about input lag, you're really not going to see it with this. It is a bigger mouse, and you can see the kind of extension that it has over here, this thumb rest, which is actually really nice. So I really like that. Two thumb buttons on the side. They changed that from the previous version. They put a new sensor in it as well. But it's, I wouldn't say it's the same, but it's very much the same mouse from 2017. So basically in my review, I more or less said that this mouse, if you have the old one, there's no real reason to get the new one. Another thing they did add is they, instead of micro USB for the power connection, it's USB-C now, which of course makes sense.
Yep.
But there's, yeah, I mean, it's a good mouse, right? It does everything that you're going to want it to do. Another cool thing I love about this mouse, and I actually used the old one as my travel mouse as well, is because if for some reason you lose the dongle or you leave the dongle at home and you throw this in your laptop bag, you can use it via Bluetooth as well.
Yeah, I just bought the Harpoon wireless and I forgot that it had Bluetooth on it. So
yeah,
that's a nice feature.
So yeah, it's $79.99. It's $80, which is, I think that's the same price the other one launched at. And I do like it. It's a very comfortable mouse. It does have a couple extra buttons, which I didn't point out.
I was going to say, those are right next. Yeah, those aren't the thumb buttons. Those are.
Yeah, so you have two top here, these two. You have two on the side. You have a dedicated like profile switch or DPI. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have a scroll wheel. That has a click as well. No buttons on the opposite side. And then you have this one thing I love about this mouse is this sort of like the bumpy, rubberized, bumpy, whatever coating you want to call it on here. It's super comfortable, which I really like. And then there is an actual, so this comes off to reveal this, but then there's another piece, which for some reason I don't have around me. There's another piece that makes it even a bigger mouse. So you could really put like, you could rest your pinky there. It's a really good mouse. The battery, I didn't like fully test the battery, but the battery lasts a very long time. And with the IQ software, you basically can tell this thing to shut off, you know, within a minute of no activity, which is really nice as well. Has RGB lighting, which I can show you guys in the review here. And like the IQ software worked really great with it. let's see here. So here you can see some of the RGB lighting. You have lighting on the sides, the Corsair logo, and the scroll wheel there. You can kind of see. And then you have these activity LEDs on the side that will tell you which profile you're on or which DPI level you're on. So if you know, notice something weird, you can just check that really quick without having to open up the software. But like I said, it is a good mouse. It's just like the keyboard, their newer keyboard. If you already have it, I don't see a big reason to upgrade.
Just some minor revisions, really.
Yeah, just some minor revisions. I like I said, but if you're in the market for a wireless gaming mouse, this is a great one. I think it's super comfortable. And if you wanted to go this route, this is definitely one that I would consider for sure. So definitely check out that review as well. And we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And this week we have a really cool custom build that I initially thought was like one of those Thermaltake Core P5 builds or something like that. But to my surprise, this is actually custom, all custom, like, I guess, what is that, acrylic, I guess?
Acrylic, yeah.
Yeah. It does look like a Core P5, kind of, right?
Sure.
From Thermaltake, except for they've made this custom housing or mount.
Well, it's like a distro on the bottom, it looks
that's the cool thing that I noticed about this. And what's really cool is typically you would have this pump. These pumps are by themselves, which you don't really see that often anymore, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're usually attached to a rad. Yep.
Yeah.
I guess they're just attached to that distro plate.
Yeah, they're attached to this distro plate. Really cool build. This one's from PC Squad, which I don't know that we've featured them before. But you can see here is that sort of, you know, custom distro plate, which I absolutely love. I didn't even notice it until I started going through the pictures. But it's just an awesome build. ROG build, pretty much with almost all ROG parts, minus, I don't think, ROG, do they make memory yet? I don't think.
No.
But you have ROG power supply, graphics cards, motherboard. So yeah, just some awesome stuff there. It's like I said, it's a really cool build, I think. I love the colors. I love that they, I mean, I assume these are RGB fans anyways, right?
You would think so.
But they went with kind of like the all red, which I actually really like. And of course it matches with the coolant and the, you know, the effects on the memory and the cabling. I think it's a really, really cool build there. So
yeah, it's neat.
Yeah. I like this one. I think he did.
I love those pumps too. Like with the screen on them and everything showing the stats, these, like the temperature. Ugh.
Yeah. Those are really nice. Who makes this?
I think it's Aqua Computing or
Aqua Computing. Yeah, I think it's Aqua Computer, I believe is it makes. Yeah. But yeah, these are called the D5 Next. I'm pretty sure that's what they're called. So really, really awesome build here. So definitely go ahead and check that one out for sure. And of course, we have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds. So if you want some, you know, inspiration, or you just want to see what you can do with PC parts, definitely go ahead and check that out. And I made a video this week, and I've been trying to keep up with, I set myself a goal this year to do one video a week on YouTube. So I'm trying to keep up with that. So this week I did a video on, let me bring it up here. There's me.
Hey.
But no, I did it on lightweight gaming mice. So I think, when did I review my first one? I think at the end of last year, I reviewed
the Cooler Master was first, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Cooler Master. It was this one, but without the RGB. So when I first saw these type of gaming mice, I thought they were completely gimmicky. And I was like, there's no way that these can be comfortable and that I would actually use them. Mm-hmm. And I'm using one right now. So my mind has been completely changed. So I want to make this video about how these mice are actually good, and they have some really cool features that you don't find on any other mice besides, of course, these cutouts. But they have like the cabling I've talked about multiple times here on the podcast and everything else. So if you want some more information about, you know, lightweight gaming mice and how they're different and how they've changed my thoughts on them, and made, at least in my opinion, my gaming experience better. Definitely go ahead and check that video out. I have it linked in the show notes, so you guys can go ahead and check that out.
It's kind of funny. I mentioned, you know, I bought the Harpoon RGB, or what, the wireless from Corsair, and I've been using the Harpoon for like, I don't know, 3-4 years now. Mm-hmm. And it weighs like 85 grams, but the wireless is 99. And just like that 15-gram difference,
yeah.
I started using that thing and I was like, oh, what is this brick I'm using?
Yeah. And what's crazy is
such a difference.
Craziest too is like talking about the cabling. Like if I use a mouse that has a normal cable, I can feel the drag so much because I'm not this cabling on this mouse has absolutely no drag. So I can't use it. Like I just can't. You know, so
spoiled.
Yeah. So definitely check out that video. I wanted to do something a little different than just like a normal product review. So go ahead and check that one out. And then we have two contests going on at the same time. We talked about it slightly last week that we're going to be running a contest. And this contest is only going to Friday. So you only have 2 days left. So Orico, they teamed up with us and they wanted to give stuff back to people who are stuck at home. And they wanted to give 3 or 5 of their HDMI switches. So basically, TVs only have so many HDMI inputs, right?
Yeah.
And you're stuck at home. You might have you might want to hook up a streaming device. You might need to hook up your laptop or something like that. You also, you know, have a console. Then you have your cable box. You have all this stuff, and there's maybe 1 or 2 inputs. So this kind of solves that. It allows you to put 3 inputs, HDMI inputs, to 1 HDMI output, and then you can easily select through the 3. Super useful product for this type, yeah. You know, with everybody stuck at home. So we have 5 of them to give away. It's super easy to enter. It is in the show notes for everybody listening. It's only going to Friday the, what is that?
10th.
The 10th. So it is the 8th. So only 2 days left, guys. This one's super easy to enter. We do all of our contests through Gleam, so you should know how that goes. So that is one of our contests. And then our second contest has been going on for...
It's quite a while.
Yeah, this one, we were running this one for a month. This one still has 12 days left. So this one will run a little bit longer, but we are giving away the Sabrent Rockets NVMe 4.0 1 TB SSD. This is a Gen 4 SSD, super fast, just like the other ones. You can do it all here on Gleam. Totally easy to enter. So go ahead and get your entry in for that one as well. So 2 awesome contests. We usually don't like to run contests like 2 of them at the same time, but we figured we wanted to make the first one that just a real short contest so that we can get these things out to you. So they will ship them out very quickly so you can, you know, make use of that. And that brings us to news this week. And we talked about it last week. Oops. We talked about it last week that both Intel and NVIDIA will be launching their mobile parts. And Intel, of course, did, and NVIDIA did. And we have a ton of awesome new laptops. We're not going to go specifically over the laptops because there's so many of them. I think that the new Razer Blade is worth checking out. The new 15-inch ROG laptop, the Zephyrus, I think it's called the Zephyrus 15. If you guys want to check that out.
Duo 15 or just the...
Yeah, the Duo 15. That looks awesome.
Yeah.
But anyways, so Intel launched their mobile parts. The flagship is the Core i9-10980HK, base clock of 2.4 gigahertz. The maximum turbo is 5.3 gigahertz. That's an 8-core, 16-thread part, 45-watt TDP on that. And you can see the rest of the lineup here. So we're going to have really awesome mobile processors from Intel go against AMD's mobile offering, which has been picked up, but not picked up, of course, to the level that Intel has kind of the dominance over the mobile scene, I would say. And then we also have NVIDIA launching their RTX 20 series super GPU. So we never got...
The mobile.
Yeah, mobile, sorry.
Yeah.
We never got... RTX 2080 Super Mobile or RTX 2070 Super Mobile. So now we have them. So you're going to see all of those laptops that I said will be, you know, an RTX 2080 Super or 2070 Super Mobile with one of those Intel processors. So you're going to get a lot of performance there. All of the mobile parts have the same configuration or same core configuration as the desktop parts, just their base clock and boost clocks are different. And then the Max-Q variants will be even more different because they're made to save power, basically. So I think that I was actually surprised because the lowest price laptop is $700, which is pretty impressive for like a 2070 Super. 2070 Super with, I don't know what type of, probably like the i5 or something.
I mean, yeah, that's a lot of like graphics hardware at that price point when you have to factor in, CPU, memory, I'm sure solid state drive. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and there's, like I said, a lot of these are really good. This is like a big deal because I think too, we're at that time where, again, a lot of people are staying at home and they want to, you know, get a laptop or whatever. So lots of really cool stuff, but definitely, like I said, check out the new Razer Blade, check out the new, the ROG Zephyrus.
There's a bunch of them. There's like the Duo 15, the M15.
Yeah, there's a bunch. Like I said, all these new laptops coming out are going to be really awesome with this hardware. And then there was no RTX 2060 Super Mobile announced, but somebody got this little leaked thing here from Asus, and there will be a 2060 Super. Exact same thing. It will have the same core counts, just the clocks will be different on this one as well. I think they're waiting to launch that one because that's going to be the affordable part. That's going to be the part that everybody wants. So they'll have this first kind of like little run of 2070, 2080, and then you'll finally get the 2060 probably a little bit down the line, I would guess. So yeah, but here is the specs on it and all of that. So yeah, I think we have awesome mobile stuff. If I was going to buy a gaming laptop, which I don't think I ever will again, because like when I want a game, like I have these screens now that are over 100 hertz. Like I like a big screen too, and I like my keyboard and my mouse. I don't think I'm ever. I would like. Would you buy a gaming laptop again?
I've had two. I had a Asus G72. I mean, it was like a. I don't remember the GPU, but I mean, it was like a Core 2 Duo or something, right? And it was a beast. And I like, that was back when LAN parties seemed to be more prevalent. So I know I brought it to a couple. I brought it to a QuakeCon one year, and it was nice to have there. Like, I loved that year of QuakeCon of not having to lug my whole rig down. And then I have a Dell, like, low-end, mid-range gaming laptop now. And it's okay, but I don't ever find myself playing anything on it really, and I just wish it was like a thin and light instead. I think because that, I've got this system here that it's just a night and day difference. Not that you can't game on a laptop, but I just prefer to sit here with my larger screens. And
I think too, it's like if you're traveling and on the road, like I don't see myself sitting in a hotel room gaming, at least like for me.
I've done it.
I think if it's not like bad, but yeah, but like at least like when I'm at like traveling, like I want to like see what like the city that I'm in is about, or I want to check out a restaurant, or I want to, you know, and the thing is too, is like, if I would have a gaming laptop, I think I would get like a Razer, like a thin and light like Razer Blade. And then I'd get the external GPU. So when I come home, I can put my laptop down and get that extra, discrete graphics card power, I guess. Yeah. But talking about gaming laptops, Asus is doing something really cool if you're kind of into this stuff. On their new ROG laptops, they're going to be using liquid metal. So if you guys don't know what liquid metal is, a lot of times we see it in kind of like our scene when people they delid their CPU and then they put liquid metal on because it's more conductive. It will transfer heat better, so it leads to better cooling in the long run. Am I saying that right? I assume.
Yeah.
And Asus has been working with Thermal Grizzly using their liquid metal, and they've been trying to find a way to use it in their products that they can actually like put it in a, in their supply line, so it's easy, because it's not something that you can just like.
Right, they're trying to figure out a way to automate it.
Yeah,
so it's not a manual process, right?
Yeah. So they've figured out a way to a machine to apply this at scale on their new gaming laptops. So that just helps for better cooling. And you know, especially when it comes to gaming laptops, you have those powerful components that we just talked about in a confined space. So having a better, you know, conductive material in there, well, even if it's a couple degrees, will definitely help out.
Yeah.
So I think it's really awesome. And I think that's a big win for Thermal Grizzly, I would say.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that, like, that's who they were kind of paired up with.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, you hear about them all the time with, like, Gamers Nexus. They're always talking about Thermal Grizzly. Yeah. And to have Asus working with them. It's a cool little video, like a short clip that's in the article.
Yeah, we have it in the article here.
The things like brushing it on and squirting the liquid metal on. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and they said, I mean, this is their press release, but they said the engineers observed a 10 to 20 degrees Celsius reduction in temperatures depending on the CPU.
That's impressive.
Yeah, that means that you could, you know, a lot of these laptops, you know, will, especially like the ROG ones, you can have them overclock for a certain, but it's only for a certain amount of time, so you can maintain that higher clock for a longer period of time. And all that kind of stuff. So I really like that. I think it's awesome, actually. So
cool.
Yeah, definitely check out the article and check out the video here that we have linked in the article. It's very cool, actually. So yeah. Talking about 10th core desktop, which we haven't seen yet. And we've been talking about it for a decent amount of time. Yeah. Some of the materials have leaked via video cards. And we see that this is kind of everything that we did expect. Nothing was ever confirmed. We just have heard rumors. So your Core i9 processors will be 10 core, 20 thread, thermal velocity boost up to 5.3 gigahertz. Your Core i7s will be 8 core, 16 thread, up to 5.1 gigahertz. And your Core i5 will finally get hyper threading, which is awesome
for about time, right?
Yeah, about time. So you get 6 core, 12 thread, up to 4.8 gigahertz. Pretty awesome. I mean, basically, you know, if you look at the specs, like a Core i5-10600K will outperform a Core i7-8700K, and that's only, what, 2 years?
Yeah.
2 years? Is that 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 years ago, that was their flagship processor. Core i7-10700K will outperform the 9900K, which is pretty awesome as well. And if you think about it, it's going to be really hard for Intel to price the Core i9-10900K, which will be like the flagship part, more than $500, because the Ryzen 9 3900X is being sold for $439 right now, and that's a 12-core 24-thread processor.
Right.
So
I mean, sure, you've got a higher clock speed with the Intel 10 series, but yeah, it'll be a tough sell, I think.
Yeah, I think $499
probably. Yeah,
I think it's gonna be $499. I don't see it. It's just a hard sell if you go over that when the competition part is selling for $60 cheaper.
Yeah.
So yeah. But it looks like these parts might be pushed back even more, which isn't surprising considering what's going on right now. But the date that we've been hearing for the longest time is April 30th. And it looks like that will be the announcement date. So Intel will announce these parts on April 30th. So we'll get the lowdown on all the parts and you know, maybe they'll have a webcast, I assume. I don't know. But typically when we see any of these type of announcements, we get parts in our hands 2 weeks later. Like as a consumer, you can buy them on Amazon in 2 weeks. But it looks like this is actually being pushed back basically a month, all the way to May 29th, which I don't know if it's a supply chain issue with parts. I don't know if it's a supply chain issue with motherboards that wouldn't be available. Because again, on the 30th, all the motherboards, the 400 series motherboards, should be announced as well. So yeah, that's kind of like a, you know, but again, considering what's going on, supply chain, and like, you know, Amazon is not restocking the
non-essential.
Yeah, non-essentials and things like that. So it makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like concerning or anything. And I think most people are probably going to be pretty understanding and acceptable of this, right? Like you've got higher unemployment rates and just money's more of a focus for a lot of folks right now. So, you know, not being able to get the latest processor may not be a priority for people. So a month out, yeah. I don't see any big issues with it.
Now, would you, if you were upgrading, would you buy any of these parts?
Nope. They've burned me, not personally, but I think enough people with the, gotta have a new motherboard. Like, yeah. I don't like that at all. I mean, not to say that I didn't buy a new motherboard when I built my new system this last fall.
Yeah.
But the only reason I bought a new one is because I wanted to have a secondary test system to the side, you know, and it wasn't going to reuse hardware. Otherwise, I would have.
And I think the thing is, too, is like, you know, 10 nanometer is coming, right?
Right.
And you know the performance that you would get out of it.
It's got to be. Right.
And I'm pretty sure 400 series motherboards do not have Gen 4 either.
Right.
So, yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Sorry to say, but I would not. But you say people don't have money, but it looks like if you want to say
people don't have money, I just think that focus on money might be a little
different right now. I wouldn't say it's a time to spend money right now at all, because you don't know what the future holds with a lot of these things. But if you do want to spend some money, we have something that's very limited edition that you can actually buy.
This is crazy.
So you remember this Cyberpunk 2077 yep. RTX 2080 Ti? I still didn't understand why they made it, honestly, because the game's not even out yet. It's still not out right now.
By the time it comes out, I would almost be expecting a 3000 series announcement. But yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, they only made 200 of these. 133 were made available for purchase for $1,100, which is the was that like a premium on the price at the time or no?
I think so.
And then 77 of them were raffled off. And it looks like they're hitting eBay now. It could be because people just want to make some money. It could be because people don't have money. But when I wrote this article this morning, one was up at auction for 5,000. Like the current bid was 5,000 on eBay. It's at 5,200
right now.
Yeah, it's at 5,200 right now. That's what, five times, they're four times the price.
Yeah, that's
I mean, if you,
like, I wonder if it actually sells though, like at that, or if these are just like people jacking around.
There was one that sold for around 6,000 the other day, which I don't understand. Like, maybe if you didn't spend the money on it, or even if you did, to get your money back. I mean, people do this all the time with special limited edition products. They don't have to be computer products. We see it. I don't know. I think if I had one, I might sell it. Because, I mean, that's just a lot of money for something that I wouldn't use. Right. I mean, if I already had. And you can buy, what, how many 2080 Ti's for that? Three? Yeah?
Yeah.
So you could have three.
How many full, like, two really nice $2,500 systems or... You know,
or like a $1,000 monitor, or yeah, right. You know what I mean, there's a lot of things you can
do. So much more you can do with $5,000.
Yeah. So, but if you want to, we have the link to the eBay page. If you want to put a bid in, it's at $5,200 right now. So, 2 hours and 51 minutes left. So, it will sell here soon. It's 40 bids. So, yeah, definitely. If that's your thing, you can go ahead and pick that up. Fractal Design announced new AIOs this week, actually today. And I do like them. They're very fractal design. Makes any sense.
I really like their new logo.
Yeah, I think you know, they're just, it's very understated, it's very clean. Mm-hmm. One thing that we saw on their original Celsius series is they the cabling goes through the tubing.
Right.
So you don't see it. And you've done RGB stuff. Yep. And you've done AIO RGB where you have to connect all these different wires. And then you have to try to hide the wires so they don't look like your case is a mess.
Yep.
The
Arctic cooler that I did, it wasn't RGB, but they ran like the fan cabling through the tubing there in the room. And it was so nice. I was like, wait, I'm done, because I just mounted the radiator and you know, it was so nice.
Yeah. And it's just like, again, you have one cable that comes off that goes into your CPU fan header and that's it.
They don't have a USB connection for the.
It might be, but it's going to be on the radiator. It's going to be over here. Okay. So like there's like a little hub on the radiator that where everything connects. So it's just like out of the way, which I really like.
Yep.
It keeps everything clean in there. And again, I do like the just like the Fractal logo, and just, you know, you have a little RGB ring. It's a little
NZXT-ish, but yeah.
Sort of, yeah. It's a little NZXT-ish. But they have a bunch 240, 360, 280, and then you can pick the RG, the Prisma fans, or their dynamic, the dynamic X2 non-RGB fans. So if you wanted to go that route, go ahead and check those out. They are available today. I think you can buy them today too. So check that out, for sure. And talking about console stuff, we don't talk about it all that much, but for some reason this is a massive deal, and everybody knows. The PlayStation controller, PS4 controller, like if you're a PlayStation guy, like that's your controller. And yep. Sony revealed their new controller for PS5, and it does not look like the normal PS4 controller, I would say. It's a little different, sort of. It reminds me of a morph between like the Xbox controller and the PlayStation controller.
Yeah, I'm like looking at this SCUF controller, like...
Yeah,
I'm literally holding it up in front, like below the screen of this image you've got up there.
Well, yeah, pull it up, or show it to the camera, because I don't have mine. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I guess it is a little similar. This is like more, like the angles are streamlined more, like down here.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look. It just looks a little different.
I still got like that touch pad in the middle there, obviously. Yeah. And it's called what, the DualSense? Isn't that what they were calling it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know why people are making it. I think when you change something that's good, people get upset. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But just think about I had the first PlayStation, right? And that controller was amazing. The PS2 controller, the DualShock was awesome.
Yeah.
The PS3 controller was great. The PS4, like, I have a feeling this is going to be just fine. Sony's controllers have always been awesome.
Yeah. Now, will you buy a PlayStation 5?
Nope.
Will you buy an the new Xbox?
I might, but it'll be like a couple years down the road. Like I have a Xbox One that I bought. I don't know. I don't even remember when I bought it. I think it was after Christmas last year. Something like that. Whenever the Fortnite one came on sale, that's when I bought. I would, yeah. At the time, I need to hop on the game though and get the Deadpool skin.
I got an email about that.
I need to get in with that. But no, I won't buy one. Like, I'm glad I have it so that I can do UHD Blu-ray and stuff like that. Not that I have a 4K screen downstairs, but I just wanted that ability. But I won't buy a console. Like, that's not my preferred gaming method, and I just can't justify that purchase when. I'm not getting anything out of
it. I haven't had a console since Xbox 360. I don't see myself buying one unless. Yeah, I mean, I just don't. I put all those retro games on my Fire Stick last week. And like, if I want to sit down and play something, like that's what I'll play, you know? And like every game, it's like I want a keyboard and mouse typically.
I know. Like, I have a new TV upstairs in the bedroom. And this last weekend, instead of like moving my Xbox upstairs, I put a PC in the bedroom with wireless mouse and, you know, all that. So I was like, I didn't even want a console there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, talking about gaming, we have a pretty cool story, and there's not a whole lot of information on this, but apparently Amazon is working on their own cloud gaming service called Project Tempo. And what's interesting about the story is that, according to the New York Times, this is one of Amazon's largest investments in original entertainment. So what they're going to be doing is with this Project Tempo, which will be like your typical game streaming service, I guess, that will compete with like GeForce Now and Microsoft Project X Cloud and things like that. But they'll be creating games specific, I assume, specifically for this service. Okay. And then they'll be launching those games with the service. So this is one of Amazon's biggest investments as far as original content, which is a big deal because, I mean, they spend a lot of money on original programming and things like that for, you know, streaming TV shows and movies and documentaries and things like that. So that's a, you know, pretty, I would say they, if they're spending that much money, I think it's might be something good. I mean, it could be horrible, but
I worry like because of things like GeForce Now, like losing all those titles, right? And, yeah. Like you have all these contracts set up and then they just like fall away to the side. But if this is original content that they're like commissioning, I assume they're going to have those rights to keep them on there. So,
I mean, Google Stadia has not been good launch at all. The interesting thing, which I wonder, which again, there's not a whole lot of details on this, as like, will this only be Amazon games or will it be other AAA titles as well? And I do think Amazon can do it with their data, massive data centers for, what is theirs? AWS, which we use on our website for all of our images and things like that. I mean, they have the network to do it. Also, is this something that's going to be thrown into my Prime that I can just use, right?
Yeah. That's so, I mean, you get so much for Prime. I can't see them like...
You never know. It's another thing. And again, it's a streaming service, so I don't need a PC to play this. I can play it on my phone. I can play it on my tablet. I could probably play it on my Fire Stick, right? This could make the all the Fire devices really into cool gaming devices, not for free, but... Like it would give it the ability to like, okay, well, instead of buying this streaming stick, I'm going to buy the Fire Cube, which is like $100 and I can game on it too with games that are free that are from Amazon, which I think is pretty cool. That's interesting. We'll see. Like I said, the code name is called Project Tempo. The first game, it's a new world fantasy MMO that's going to launch coming up here in May. So
in we shall May, see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and what's really cool is that I assume it's going to integrate perfectly with Twitch because Amazon owns Twitch.
Yeah.
So yeah, I if this is included in my Prime, I would be very happy. It might be something I would actually use. So, so yeah, so we'll keep you updated on that one. I think that's a really cool story there. And then another, we already talked about E3 being canceled. And now the news is that they were going to have an online experience where it would be like a virtual E3 and all this kind of stuff. That has been canceled. And basically because the companies were like, we don't need you guys. We can do our own online thing and we don't need to pay or, you know, we want to promote our own online event. We don't need E3 to do it. So that's kind of been confirmed. There's going to be no E3 online event. So if you're looking forward to that, that is not happening. And they announced the new dates for E3 2021, which will be June 15th through 17th. We assume that's going to happen just because we assume all this stuff's going to be kind of over by then, but you never know. And then our last little piece of news also has to do with what's going on. I don't know where, you know, in Kansas, if GameStop was still operating when you,
I don't know.
Do you guys have a shutdown order? Like for
business? I mean, essentially, you know, kind of that whole essential personnel only. Order. It seems like though, there's so many things that are deemed essential that like, so much is going on. Shinny says he thinks that they're still open here, which may be the case. I don't know.
Yeah. So they were open here in Pennsylvania, which is kind of like, I know GameStop obviously has like a cash flow problem. Like if they close, like they're
done.
they're done. And defying state orders to close because they are non-essential. Like, you don't sell anything that's essential.
Almost everything you're selling, like, can be procured elsewhere, right? Like a digital download of a game. Sure, you have hardware, but
that's not essential to me living.
Absolutely not.
It's not food. It's not,
you know, they were trying to say, well, services. It's entertainment and, you know, like mental health for folks.
I'm not a fan of GameStop. And this is the reason why is, okay, so basically they sent out an internal email that, one, they didn't provide their employees with protective things like gloves and masks or anything. I've read on Reddit that they didn't even provide them with cleaning materials to properly clean the store. Even if the store isn't physically open, like a lot of them are doing curbside pickup, you'd still want to clean the place where you were just at.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe if you say, like, if you did have it, but you didn't know, you could get all of your colleagues sick as well. So from what I've read, they didn't provide any of this stuff. And GameStop actually sent out an internal email that said, what you do for the curbside pickup orders is you tape a bag to your hand up to the arm, you tape it, and you give the customer the product that they bought. How bad is that?
It's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm not a fan of GameStop. It's like stuff like this. And I mean, there's so many other stories as well. But this happened in Boston, where they were ordered to shut down. They defied the order, and then they were like, the inspector came and they told them to shut down. And then since then, GameStop has stopped all of the GameStops in Massachusetts are shut down. I think they're still operating here in Pennsylvania, I'm pretty sure. And Shinny said,
I'll drive by one tomorrow.
Yeah, Shinny said he worked at GameStop years ago. Cash flow problem is an understatement. I would definitely agree with that. I think that it's just a dying business, and it's just bad business to be in right now, considering everything is going digital. We talk about those new consoles all having those super fast SSDs now, and how fast, you know, you can download game, almost all console games you can download now, right?
I mean,
I don't know if that's
true. I don't pay it, you know, super close attention. So there may be some exclusives that are still physical media, but I don't see why you would do that.
Yeah. That wraps up all of our news for this week, and we'll go to what we have coming up next week. And I'm super excited, super, super excited to tell you guys about this keyboard, the IQNIX F96 Coral C wireless mechanical keyboard. It's wireless. It is all aluminum minus the keys, obviously Cherry MX keys. It has this really awesome, you guys can see this, like, just an awesome design, I think. It's really cool. I got the Cherry MX Blues, which actually don't feel like any other Cherry MX Blues that I've used, which is weird. But they feel better. And I don't know if it's because of, like, the materials used on this, like with the aluminum plate and everything. I don't know. But whatever it is, this keyboard feels amazing. So I'm super excited to tell you guys about that. And then I'll be taking a look at a security product. And I think, you know, data security is kind of important for a lot of people, especially this day and age. Like, maybe you're working from home now and you have certain things that need to be secure. So we've taken a look at the DataLocker Sentry K300 encrypted micro SSD. It's basically an encrypted flash drive that has this cool little OLED screen on it, where you can go ahead and enter in your password to access your files. So I'm pretty excited to take a look at that one as well.
I have the Sentry One data locker at work.
There you go.
At work, yeah.
Yeah. So checking out something like that. And then you, Ryan, will be taking a look at the NZXT Kraken. Is it Kraken?
Kraken
X63.
Yep. Yeah. It's a 280.
Yes.
All AIO, right? With the pretty standard looking NZXT pump and water block housing there with their RGB and everything. Pretty decent unit. I was like the 280 models, even though they don't fit in, like 240 is obviously going to be more compatible with a lot more systems, but the 280 just gets you a little more performance.
Yeah.
And, I always like, you know, a little quieter typically. Yeah. No.
I have the old nice. Version of this. Mm-hmm. Cause this one has the Hue 2 stuff in it. I think I have the X62. This is a 63. I think it's called the X62.
Yeah.
Which I have.
The X63 is a 280. So that's dual 140 millimeter fans out there. So just a little more surface area on the radiator, a little bigger fans. So obviously they can spin a little slower to get a quieter, but noise output, but still good performance. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually do prefer the 280. It is hard. Like some cases just, you just can't do a 280. But to have a 280 is really nice. So yeah, excited to, have you take a look at that as well. And this comes to the end here, and we talk about if we did anything cool this week. Did you
do anything? I mean, I used the Best Buy like online ordering pickup. I haven't ever done that. And I mean, you can't go into Best Buy right now. So I ordered that.
That's Harpoon. Another business that I think would, it's kind of, I wouldn't say it's not as bad, I would say. But yeah, it's another one that's.
Yeah, so I picked up that Harpoon wireless mouse, and nice. I also grabbed a wireless HDMI transmitter and receiver because I didn't know how I was going to lay things out in the bedroom for that PC. I don't think I'm going to use it, but I'm going to keep the thing because I have another project that I may use that for. Nice. So those items, and then, like we kind of mentioned earlier, I got Half-Life Alyx from a buddy of mine today. He gifted that to me on Steam. So shout out to Luis for that. I played like, I don't know, 5-10 minutes of it. And really it wasn't even like playing. It was just like standing around, like looking at stuff and just messing around with items. So it looked really cool. I can't wait to actually get some actual time in there and get playing it. So those are really the things I did.
I've been barking on reviews. I haven't done, Shinny says, I think Best Buy can at least say that they sell laptops and accessories to help people work from home. That's very true. That's one thing I noticed. So talking about ordering things, I had to order some stuff on Amazon, and I've noticed that sometimes if you put something in your cart, it will say a month to get it delivered, but then you come back the next day, like you just leave it in your cart, and then it will say 3 days. So it's kind of weird. It's kind of like, I don't know. I've noticed that a lot, 'cause like I pretty much order everything on Amazon. So if you guys are kind of like wanting to get something, throw it in your cart, maybe wait till the next day and see if it, you know, 'cause it will tell you like the expected delivery. So that's one of the things that I've noticed. Just working on this keyboard review and some other cool stuff. That's pretty much it. Haven't really done my, I haven't left the house all that much. So. But in any case, guys, we'll go ahead and end things. We are going to be hopping over to Twitch, to do some gaming. What's the event called? The Apex event?
I don't know.
Is Shinny going to play with us?
The Old Ways event. Was talking about it earlier. He was like, if you need a third. He is in the stream watching live, so he may.
Yeah, and you better get on there, because I mean I can't be playing with Ryan all the time. I mean, you know. So we'll be over at twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. That's where we of course stream all of our gaming. We're definitely gonna be doing some Apex Legends, the new event. Going to check that out. I think what it does is it switches the maps every hour.
Okay.
So you get to play, what's the original map called?
King's Canyon or
whatever? Yeah, King's Canyon, and then you'll get it's pretty cool. So we'll talk about that over there. So definitely head on over there if you are in the stream now. And that is it for this week, guys. As I always say, we have our full show notes page that has everything that we talked about. And if you're looking for us on your favorite podcasting app or software, it's just Think Computers, all one word. So until next week, catch you guys later.